Now on BBC Radio 4, we begin a new Charles Paris mystery, starring Bill Nye as the actor come amateur sleuth and Martin McCutcheon as Jody Ricks, in Cast in Order of Disappearance.
My normally useless agent had somehow got me a part in a UK stroke pan-European martial arts action fantasy, The Wreathing, in which I played Zhabek, a middle-aged, middle-management vampire.
You stand before Zhabek. Welcome to my humble abode.
I know exactly who you are and what you are.
Zhabek wasn't a lead role. In fact, he was so far below the title, you'd be out the cinema and in the pub before his credit flashed by. But hey, it was a movie.
And you are the one they call the Slayer.
You've heard of me.
The one they called the Slayer was played by actress and swimwear model Jody Ricks.
So, this is where the great Zhabek hides when he's not sucking the blood of the innocent.
Zhabek hides from no one.
Nervous about my first kick-ass flying sequence, I got lightly scotched up on half a bottle of Bell's.
You speak as a warrior, Zhabek.
Which I'd stuffed down the back of my leather breeches, forgetting how tight the harness was.
You are no more than a common murderer.
Brave words, Slayer. But as you smote my brothers and sisters, I now take pleasure in avenging my kind! Ah! Hold on!
My bloody backside.
It's not blood, but your trousers are soaking wet.
I can explain that.
A bottle of scotch down your pants.
A half bottle.
This is a new low, even for you.
Ow!
Keep still if you want me to get all the glass out.
Oh, Dr. Mayhew was supposed to have got it all out.
Serves you right for going privately.
I didn't have any choice. He's the showbiz doctor.
A song, a dance, and a speculum.
He does all the insurance medicals. They probably wanted to cover themselves. Oh.
I'd been lodging with my estranged wife on a semi-permanent basis for a few years, and with credit crunching ever deeper, I wasn't moving on in a hurry.
Oh, can I have a drink?
Only if it's tea.
I'm in pain. I need 40% tea.
It was booze that got you in this state. Ooh, there's a bit.
Oh!
The Wreathing was filming over the summer, so in an unusual role reversal, I was out all day while Francis had 6 weeks school holiday to mock me.
Glass in the Aris is a crossword clue just fighting to get out. Aris, Aristotle, bottle of glass, arse. Pleasingly circular.
It's like living in Round Britain quiz. Ow!
At least alcohol's antiseptic. Oh,
glad you find my pain so amusing.
I get my last where I can these days. While you're out biting necks, I'm here with Juliet of the Sorrows. Okay.
The complexity of our daughter's love life was a Freudian case study.
Thank you.
Pregnant by city boy Miles, Juliet dumps him, then on the rebound hooks up with sensitive artisan Toby. Last seen on an artist's collective in the Outer Hebrides.
Oh, no.
Morris, how's tricks?
What the hell were you playing at?
News travels fast.
Mayhew's my doctor, too.
So much for patient confidentiality.
Sue me.
I could have been badly injured. The producers are lucky they're not facing a substantial insurance claim.
If there was an insurance claim, I'd have claimed it before you hit the ground. But as it was your own stupid fault...
What?
Don't play the wounded innocent with me.
I am wounded.
But far from innocent. You were drinking on the job again.
I'm not an airline pilot.
If you carry on like this, you won't be an actor much longer. I see I finally got your attention.
Don't talk to me like I'm a schoolboy.
Then stop behaving like one. Now I've got to convince the suits you don't have a drink problem, ho-ho.
I don't have a drink problem.
That's the one thing you do to a professional standard. If you knew how I had to debase myself to get you this job, and now I've got to go back and brown those them all over again. It's undignified and humiliating.
I thought I paid you 10% to be humiliated.
If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Liquid assets.
Don't push it, Paris. The world's in recession and smart asses are to a penny. I'm going to tell them you'll be back on set first thing tomorrow morning. You will be back on set, won't you?
Yes, Morris.
Good. Now, as they say across the pond, get you ass into gear while I attempt to salvage what remains of your career.
And if I'm so bad, why don't they take me away?
Licking my wounds, or rather daubing them with TCP, I got an early night knowing my alarm would go off at 4 a.m.
Can't you have instant? You'll wake Angela.
At this time of the morning, I need the real thing or my eyes don't work.
What's the smell?
Oh, TCP.
The other smell.
Ah, peanut butter and banana toasty.
You've got the palate of a toddler.
It was Elvis's favourite.
There's a nutritional endorsement.
Did you get up early just to speak ill of the king?
I couldn't sleep.
Toby.
Why am I so crap at men?
Well, maybe men are crap at you.
That makes me feel a lot better. First I fall for an amoral businessman.
Mm. Was Miles amoral or immoral?
Then I go for the sensitive type.
At least you don't make the same mistake twice.
I always blow it.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Anyway, you didn't blow it. Both times you were the dumper, not the dumpee.
What does that tell me about your attitude to relationships?
Don't even go there.
So I'm strong-willed, but a single parent living with Mum and Dad.
Toby did ask you and Angela to go with him.
What would I do in the Outer Hebrides?
Back in 73, I lived on an anarcho-syndicalist commune near Colchester.
I'm guessing that was more uncomplicated promiscuous sex rather than a macroeconomic ideology.
You've got a very jaundiced image of your old man.
I wonder why.
I'm no Daddy Starbucks, but I have had a bit of parental experience, and you've got a lovely little daughter now, so you owe it to her to stop thinking about what was and what might have been and start thinking about the future.
Loath as I am to admit it, that makes a lot of sense.
Really? Well, good. Oh, it's my car outside. Feel free to finish my toasty.
I'll just have the cardiac arrest. Cut out the middleman.
There goes Mr. Bob Dylan.
Have a kip if you like, Charles.
Cheers, Harry. I thought a personal driver was a definite move up in the world. Morris said the film company just didn't trust me to be on set on time.
And looking through the papers this morning, media entrepreneur Spencer Hughes denies procuring call girls for an all-night showbiz sex romp attended by several A-list celebrities.
It's probably my age, but I can't take all-night sex sessions like I used to. Halfway to Pinewood, I remembered that my wise words to Juliet were from an afternoon play I'd done a year earlier. Still, it seemed to work.
Close your eyes while I blow on your face.
Stella, that's the best offer I've had this morning.
The day is young, babe.
Golden rule of acting. If you want the juiciest gossip and the best coffee, always make friends with the makeup department. You told me you'd given up fags.
One vice at a time, Charles. I'll give up smoking when you give up drinking. We could be each other's vice, buddy.
I'll just play that one in my head for a few minutes and then get back to you.
Morning, all.
Morning. Even at this ungodly hour, Jodie looked immaculate in designer jeans and a hoodie.
Help yourself to a coffee? I'm fine with water, thanks. Right, that's you done, Mr. Paris. Give me 5 minutes, Jodie. I need a gasper. How does she manage to be so cheerful at this time in the morning?
She's one of life's glass-half-full girls.
How about you, Charles? Optimist or pessimist?
Well, I'm still here. I still wait for my agent to ring, and there's a tiny delusional voice that still tells me I'll play Lear at the National, so I suppose I must be an optimist. You?
Last week, I would have said definitely.
Oh, this week?
Relationships are difficult in our job, don't you think?
I'm the wrong man to ask. I don't know if it's my face or a pheromone, but women see in me a confidant.
But you've been round the block a few times.
Tell the truth, my private life's chaos theory in action, but you seem pretty sus to me.
Then I must be a better actress than I thought.
She wasn't. To be fair, I'd worked with worse. On the other hand, I'd sat beneath less wooden trees.
I just wish I understood men.
6 a.m. and it's the second time I've heard that today.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
I've been seeing a man. And up until this week, it's been really good, but suddenly he stopped returning my calls. I mean, why would he do that?
Where to begin? Flashbulb memories of pre- and extramarital affairs popped inside my brain. And how many of those relationships had ended in me not returning calls? The thing to remember about men...
Right, time to get the Slayer all gored up.
Professional to the tips of my talons... I got through the day's filming without a hiccup, or a drink, for that matter. Then Harry dropped me off at the Drum and Monkey, where I partook of several scotches, which fueled the short walk home.
There's too much confusion, I can get no relief.
Bloody hell, Francis. I've spent all day in a subterranean lair with the undead. I can do without you creeping out of the shadows hissing like a viper.
Just get upstairs.
Why?
My bedroom, now.
Francis, baby. Before we start, I should tell you, I'm not a virgin.
How much have you had to drink?
Well, it's all a matter of context, but don't worry, I won't regret it in the morning if you want to take advantage of me.
Miles is downstairs.
What?
That's sobered you up.
Now is not the time to be sober. I'm out of the house 14 hours and all hell breaks loose.
Welcome to my world.
Why is Miles here?
All I know is when I left for aquarobics, Juliet was slumped on the sofa with Angela watching In the Night Garden. And when I got back, she booked a hair appointment and was painting her nails.
Oh, God.
Don't go wobbly on me. We need to be strong for each other.
It's all my fault.
Okay, you're a terrible husband, a lousy father, and an appalling male role model, but don't beat yourself up.
No, it's literally my fault.
How? Why?
Juliet was awake early this morning, and she was pretty stressed, so I offered her some advice.
Oh, God.
I didn't tell her to get back with Miles. I just said she needed to stop looking back and start looking forward.
Bit of a cliche.
You should have heard the rest of the play.
You took it from a play?
I'm an actor. All my best lines are written by other people. The thing is, did she ring him or did he ring her?
He rang her.
Aha! If he rang her, it's not my fault.
He said he wanted to talk.
Could mean anything.
Exactly.
No point jumping to conclusions.
Absolutely.
Unless they decide to give it another go.
We'll throw ourselves off that bridge when we come to it.
You know, it's times like this I'm glad we never divorced.
Ugh, you old romantic.
I've still got it in me, sweetheart.
Do you keep any booze in your bedroom?
Francis, really, what do you take me for?
I'm not being judgmental, but I can't go downstairs and I badly need a drink.
Ice, water, ginger or soda?
Pass the marmalade?
You finished the quick crossword?
Yes.
Can I have the cryptic? Hmm.
You filming today?
Tonight. You busy?
I'm going to the gym.
Again? What are you, gearing up for 2012?
About time you lost some weight.
Plenty of time to slim when I'm dead.
The way you eat, drink and smoke, that won't be long.
So what is it today?
I've got a class. Body pump. Well, that was a Freudian nightmare.
I cannot believe Juliet's going to be stupid enough to fall for that pompous, puffed-up, self-satisfied twerp again. She burnt her fingers once. You'd have thought she'd learned a lesson.
Morning! Tea?
Coffee?
Thank you, tea. You know Miles came round last night?
Did he?
Well, we stayed up talking pretty late, so I hope you don't mind, but I asked him to stay over.
Oh, he's here now.
I have no idea.
Anyway, I'll take him a cup of tea too. See you in a bit.
Yeah. Oh, I think that went pretty well, don't you?
Thank you very much, everyone. That's a wrap for tonight.
Yes. We'd been shooting in a disused warehouse, and I was heading back to makeup when... Jodie, what's the matter?
Remember the man I told you about? He sent me a text, look.
The short, sharp gist told Jodie she was dumped. I also couldn't help noticing the sender's name at the top of the screen.
You've been seeing Elliot Roth.
Roth was a serious showbiz player and, coincidentally, the main producer behind The Reading.
It's not like him at all. He's always been so gentle.
I'd heard Roth called a lot of things, but gentle?
Well, I'd offer to buy you a drink, but it's a bit late.
Are you hungry?
Starving. But we'll never find somewhere open.
You mind if I finish the butter?
Why don't you have some bread with it?
Where did you learn to cook like this?
My parents ran a dining pub up Chigwell before they bought the bar in Magaluf.
You weren't tempted by all that Spanish sun?
And spend my life serving tapas.
So, how did you meet Elliot Roth?
He saved my life.
How?
Well, when I came out of stage school, my first agent was putting me up for glamour work. Well, you know, hurt leads.
Believe it or not, I've not done much modelling. Tell a lie. A few years ago, I was the ashen face of the British Heart Foundation.
Anyway, after I dumped the agent, I couldn't get arrested. Then I managed to get into the chorus of Jude.
Mm-hmm.
The musical version of Hardy's novel broke West End records for opening and closing on the same night.
I met Elliot at the last night party, laughing his head off. He'd invested in the show, but written the whole thing off as some sort of tax dodge. I didn't understand it, but apparently he made a killing.
I've always envied men who turned failure into success.
So, we started dating, and one thing led to another.
There's quite an age difference, if you don't mind my saying.
I'm not after his money.
No, I didn't mean
that. Not like that bitch of a wife who cleaned him out after the divorce. I've never asked for a penny. The only thing he's given me is professional advice. He's even helped me get a good agent.
You'd have to give me his name.
Yeah, this one's got his eyes on the prize.
I had my eyes on the remains of Jodie's delicious pasta. And while I filled my face, she continued to unburden.
That's why I was so upset about that text.
And you've no idea why I might have sent it.
Someone's been blackmailing me, Charles.
Sorry?
Elliot's got this mate out Essex way, throws these mad parties, wall-to-wall celebs.
Spencer Hughes?
You know him?
Well, of him. He's the guy who's been done for procuring call girls.
You make him sound like a pimp.
Well, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
We all knew the score and we were all consenting adults and, well, you know.
I've never been on the showbiz sex romp circuit, not even after my Heart Foundation campaign, but I imagine it's tabloid heaven.
Yeah, right. Well, next day I get a call from sleazeball called Warren Kirkby, who says he's got photos of me at the party and he's going to send them to all the tabloids and gossip mags if I don't pay him a wedge.
Well, these shots of you and Elliot.
Well, that's the thing. We were all having a good time, but I was the mug who got papped. It was just bad luck, but now Elliot, he won't answer my calls.
If he's not in the photos, why is he avoiding you?
Because he's up for an OBE and he's scared there'll be a scandal. He's wanted to be on the Queen's Honours list since he started in the business. I mean, I can understand it. My nan loved the royal family too. Anyway, I paid Kirkby off.
Hang on. Presumably these were digital photos.
Yes, I bought the memory card too, and I thought that was that.
It really is with blackmailers. I bet this Kirkby suddenly found a backup copy.
Yeah, and he saw a chance of making some real money out of Elliot.
Jodie.
What would you have done in my place? If I could just speak to Elliot or get a message through to him, but he's not answering his landline or his mobile, and if I phone the office, I'd just get the Great Wall of China.
Sorry?
Elspeth, his PA.
Oh.
No one gets past her. She's been with him for years, and I reckon she's got a crush on him. But Elliot loves me, and I love him. What am I going to do, Charles?
I've always been a sucker for a maiden in distress, and a sobbing maiden with smudged eyeliner just about kills me.
Now, see what you've done.
What?
If there's one thing I can't resist, and there are several things, but the biggest is a challenge. And Elspeth sounds like a challenge. And you better give me contact details for this Kirkby character while you're at it.
Oh, I don't know how I can thank you, Charles.
Well, I can think of two things. One, the recipe for this sauce, and two, the name of this perfect agent of yours.
Yeah, of course. His name's Maurice Skellen.
What?
And in case one shock wasn't enough, I got home to find Francis having some kind of convulsion in the middle of the sitting room.
Francis! God! Are you all right?
We...
What?
We fit!
Are we fit? Oh, OK. Nothing to be ashamed about. It's probably just your age. I'll call an ambulance.
No, I'm using my we fit, you what? Idiot. It arrived today.
Oh, you look like you were having some sort of seizure. I thought you were going to end up like the woman who stands outside Sainsbury's in white ankle socks screaming about capitalism.
Given another few years. What's in the envelope?
Huh? Oh, just some compromising photographs.
Have you?
Charles would be a fine thing.
I won't ask why you've got them, but don't leave them lying around. I'm babysitting and I don't want Angela finding them if she wanders down.
Where's Juliet?
Out.
Out where? Or dare I ask, with whom?
Miles.
And how do we feel about that?
I don't know about you, but I've decided not to feel anything until I know exactly what's happening.
What's happening is Miles is oozing his way back into her life.
Well, she's a big girl and it's her life.
But if she decides to take him back...
We won't be the first parents who can't stand their son-in-law.
If that was aimed at me, I'm too tired to respond and I'm going to bed.
Next morning, while the crew were setting up a big green screen shot, Jodie and I sneaked off to a quiet corner.
So what are you going to say?
Just dial the number and leave the talking to me. Now, watch and learn.
Hello, ERF&T?
Hi, is that Elspeth?
Speaking.
Bob Feynman, Sky Blue Distribution. We met last time I was over. So can you put me through to Elliot?
I'm afraid Mr. Roth's not in the office today.
Here's the thing. I'm flying out of Heathrow tonight, and there's a project I'd very much like to pass by Elliot, because it's got his name all over it. So is there any chance you could schedule me in for, like, 10 minutes?
I'd have to consult his diary.
But that's fine. Let me give you my number.
Bob Feynman was based on a Glengarry Glen Ross I did at Southwold Rep. And it was a testament to my performance when a few minutes later...
Hi, Elspeth.
Mr. Roth's got a small window at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 is good. It's perfect. Thanks, Elspeth. That's great. Goodbye. Bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, you were brilliant.
Ha ha. Put it down to a lifetime's experience, a splash of talent and a side order of genius.
As luck would have it, there was no vampire action the next day. But when I turned up at Elliot Roth's office...
I'm sorry, Mr. Feynman, but Mr. Roth's not in.
I can wait if he's running late.
He won't be coming in at all. He's reading scripts at home today.
I wish you'd told me.
I'm sorry, I've only just received the email and there wasn't time to call you. Perhaps one of his colleagues would be able to...
I really need to speak to Elliot in person. We got like a rapport.
Oh, if you can hang on, I'm sure Nick would see you.
Nick?
Mr. Roth's son.
Nick, of course.
He was out at the house with Mr. Roth last night, but he should be in any time.
It was the first I'd heard of Nick, but discussing the sexual antics of his dad's mistress wasn't likely to get us off to a good start. So Bob Feynman made his excuses, and Charles Paris paid a visit to every actor's must-have agent.
He's on the phone.
Well, could you tell him I'm here?
Take a seat.
Which part of Do Not Disturb Me didn't you understand, Pixie?
Charles Paris is here.
Why?
You're on speakerphone, but do you want me to ask him?
Bloody hell, Pixie. Send him in.
There he is, the man with his eyes on the prize.
I suppose you've been fired.
Actually, I've got the day off. What's with the headset?
It's part of my time management multi-platform communication suite.
I can't decide if you look like Madonna at Glastonbury or a boy in a call centre.
I can take conference calls, surf the net and sign contracts simultaneously.
Giving none of them your full and undivided attention.
It's called multitasking.
You look ridiculous.
What do you want, Charles?
Why didn't you tell me you represent Jodie Ricks?
I must have forgotten.
So much for multitasking.
Oh, Jodie's got the complete package. She can act.
Up to a point.
No, she's no Maggie Smith, but she's good enough for the Skins generation. She's also a model. She can sing.
And cook.
Really?
Mm.
Patch me through to Celebrity MasterChef, Pixie. If I can raise Jodie's profile, I'll be able to place her pretty much anywhere.
The moral maze.
This elitist routine doesn't become you, Charles. If Will Young can do Question Time, Jodie Ricks can do Newsnight Review. How's the bum?
Phone Dr. Mayhew and get him to break the Hippocratic Oath again.
Apart from raising my blood pressure, what do you want?
What do you know about Jodie's relationship with Elliot Roth?
Gossip? Why didn't you say? Oh, Elliot and I go way back. I knew him before he had hair. Jodie needed representation, and I'm always on the lookout for young blood.
Very convenient.
That's how the business works.
Never has for me.
This grudging, paranoid mindset does you no favours.
How serious is their relationship?
I'm her agent, not her counsellor. Oh, no, no, no. I forbid you to chase a girl young enough to be your daughter,
no.
Especially one I represent.
Actually, she's younger than my daughter, and I'm not chasing her. Did you know Elliot's ex?
Rochelle?
Yeah.
Oh, she was Medea on a bad hair day, God rest her soul.
She's dead?
Yeah, 10-15 years now.
What's the son like?
Nick? Oh, what's the expression? Oh, yes, a long streak of weak piss. Now, if you'll excuse me...
One more thing. Have you ever been to one of Spencer Hughes's parties?
No, I have not, and if anyone tells you I have, I'll see them in court. Now, some of us have got work to do.
Okay, okay, I'm out of here.
But you still look ridiculous. Jodie had given me an address for Warren Kirkby, so I decided to lift a stone to see what crawled out. After my tour de force as Bob Feynman, I was feeling pretty confident about my improv skills. Note to Morris. Put in a call to Mike Lee.
Oh, what a lot of stairs. Phil Webley for Warren Kirkby.
You got an appointment?
No, but I was in the area, so I thought...
Warren's not here.
Oh, well, I needed the exercise.
What's it about?
I run snappedintheact.com. And we're always looking for good photographers. And I was hoping Warren might put some stuff our way.
No, you're not.
Sorry?
I've just Googled you, and there's no such thing as snappedintheact.com.
We're a very new start-up company.
In the middle of a recession. You the law?
No, I told you. My name's...
And I'm Sienna Miller. Look, Mr. Startup, I strongly recommend you clear off before I call the police.
I'm going to tell Warren he wants to be careful who he puts in a front office.
I'll tell him when he comes home for his dinner.
Right.
Note to Morris. Strike the Mike Lee approach. Hello.
Charles? Jodie?
Oh, hi. Listen, I'm afraid Elliot didn't show up, but...
I've had a break-in at the flat.
Are you all right?
I'm scared, Charles. I'm really scared. I don't know what's going on, but it's really starting to get to me.
You know, it could be a coincidence.
I'm pregnant.
Right.
And before you say anything, it is Elliot, and he knows, and he's really happy about it, but I just can't handle this on my own.
Look, I'm on my way home, but I can come over if
I've
you want.
I've got to speak to him, Charles. I need to straighten out this whole mess.
Okay. Let me sleep on it, and I'll see if I can come up with something. When I got home, the house was suspiciously quiet. Francis and Juliet were sitting at the kitchen table, and their expressions said I'd walked in on something.
If it's gynecological, I'll make myself scarce.
Juliet's got something to tell you.
Don't look so grave, Dad. It's nothing terrible. Thing is, the past few days, I've spent a lot of time with Miles, talking and thinking.
Talking and thinking was the least of it.
And he's opened up to me in a way I never thought he would. Partly he's been affected by the recession.
He refused to take his bonus.
But he's also been in therapy, and I honestly believe he's changed.
People do.
I know you've never seen eye to eye with him, and he knows that too, but he's prepared to extend the hand of friendship if you are.
What exactly are you saying?
Miles and I are prepared to give it another go, and for Angela's sake, I'd like you both to join us. On the journey.
Journey? I can't take a holiday. I'm fully committed to the next...
A metaphorical journey.
Oh, metaphorical journey. Gotcha.
I'm not pretending it's going to be easy. There are issues to address. But as Obama said, we can do it.
Well, when you're trumped by an Obama quote, what can a man say?
Get the glasses, Francis.
And I was campaign shouting like a southern diplomat in a day. Honey.
Oh, sorry. Did I wake you?
I couldn't sleep.
Oh, coffee?
Thanks. Well done, by the way.
For what?
The way you handled Juliet's news.
Oh, yeah.
You were surprisingly grown up about it.
Why do I feel like your 5-year-old son?
It was supposed to be a compliment.
Yeah. Shh.
Do you know him?
No, but I know a girl who did.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling there's something right.
In Cast in Order of Disappearance, Charles Paris is played by Bill Nighy, Jodie by Martine McCutcheon, and Francis by Suzanne Burden. Juliet is Tilly Gaunt, Morris John Glover, Elspeth Kate Layden, Zoe Tessa Nicholson, and the DJ Piers Wayner. Cast in Order of Disappearance is written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director is Sally Evans.